But for right now, we're going to turn for our gospel, excuse me, for our scripture reading today. We're going to go to the book of Galatians. We're going to go to chapter 2. We're going to go back to where we were last week, Galatians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 15 through 21. So Galatians chapter 2, 15 through 21. And if you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand, if you can, while I read the scripture lesson today. And if you don't have your Bibles, I have it. We'll have it up here on the screen. Excuse me. God's word says this. We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Let's pray. Father, once again, we're covering this same text of scripture, but there's much more to be said about it. So, Father, I ask a blessing, ask your blessing upon the message that I'm about to give. And I ask, Lord, that this scripture that we have just read will transform all of us from the inside out. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. I have titled today's message, Alone. Just one word, alone. And I want to share with you just on a personal note that this portion of scripture that I just read was one of the transforming scriptures that was read to me when I got saved back in 1994. So this scripture does mean a whole lot to me personally because it helped in transforming my life from one who was not saved to one who gave his life to Christ. Well, the controversy that we see in today's scripture text concerns the works that are necessary to contribute to one's salvation. I can't stress how important that word is, contribute to one's salvation. Peter and the Jews from Jerusalem demanded circumcision as a necessary ingredient for one to be saved. But Paul makes it very clear in the scripture that I just read. You cannot contribute in any way to the work that Christ has already done. Last week, I introduced you to a man by the name of Martin Luther, a Catholic priest and a monk who struggled with this salvation by works gospel that was being taught by his church, which was the Catholic Church at that time, which is and always has been a false gospel. He found the true gospel while reading the books of Romans, the book of Galatians, and the book of Ephesians. Luther had been set free from his bondage of sin. We covered most of that last week. Now let's move up to the year 1517. And here we have Martin Luther. Again, he's a Catholic monk, Catholic priest. He never had any intentions whatsoever of starting a new religion. He only wanted to reform the existing one. He only wanted to bring reform to the Catholic Church and to the Catholic faith, which had really, by his time, had strayed a lot from biblical truth. So on October the 31st, 1517, I found this picture on the internet, thought it looked pretty good. Martin Luther posted his 95 thesis on the door at the Castle Church at Wittenberg, Germany. If you haven't noticed, I love saying that word, Wittenberg. Wittenberg. Wittenberg, Germany. The thesis consisted of 95 issues that were taught by the Catholic Church that were contradictory to what the scriptures taught. He posted them on the door. And at the top of the list were the issues of indulgences, a process by which a person could buy time off of their time in purgatory and thus have quicker access to heaven. Now, that's a whole nother topic that I could talk about, but I think we're all in some way, shape, or form familiar with the Catholic teaching of purgatory. It's a place where a person goes to purge themselves of their sins before they can enter into heaven. Did you know that indulgences are still alive and well today in the Catholic Church? For instance, one way that a Catholic today can gain and earn indulgences is by following Pope Francis on Twitter. Yes, you gain indulgences by following the Pope on Twitter, but you have to be sincere in doing so. But the more important biblical issue was that of salvation. Somewhere on that 95 thesis, Martin Luther wrote about salvation. A salvation that is not earned, a salvation that is not gained by contributing works to it. Luther concluded that salvation is by grace alone, there's that word, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and not by contributing any works to the work that Jesus has already done. Luther also saw that the Old Testament practice of traditions of the elders, which we can read about quite often in the Gospels, it was sadly repeating itself in the traditions of the Catholic Church at his time. So to summarize what Luther wrote in his 95 thesis was this. Luther concluded that the Bible alone contained everything that we need, that any person would need for salvation and for holy living. And it was all to the glory of God and none to the glory of man. So as a result of this Protestant, this protesting Reformation that Luther started, we have been given 5 sola statements. Sola gratia, sola fide, sola Christus, sola Deo gloria, and sola scriptura. So here's a little Latin lesson for you. Mike, what did you just say? I didn't understand a word that you said. Well, sola means alone. So there are 5 alone statements that the Protestant Reformation brought to us. We are saved, sola gratia, by grace alone. Sola fide, through faith alone. Sola Christus, in Christ alone. Sola Deo gloria, for the glory of God alone. And how is all that made possible? Through sola scriptura, by the scriptures alone, and not through the traditions of men. If we follow this, the scriptures give us everything that we need for salvation and for holy living, and not by some man-made set of rules and their traditions. Believe it or not, within a few weeks after Luther posted these 95 theses, his word had begun to spread throughout Germany, and it became widely known. And between 1519 and 1520, remember he did the thesis in 1517, so a couple years later, Martin Luther continued his attack on the Catholic Church, and he started developing his thoughts and he started printing pamphlets on what he constituted as true Christianity. Well, the significance of these written challenges caused the established church, the Catholic Church, to eventually respond. Now, you got to remember, this is the 1500s. They didn't have the internet. The best thing they had was the printing press. It took a while for the news to get to the Catholic Church in Rome and to back to Martin Luther again. Well, Pope Leo X, who was the Pope at that time, issued a formal rebuttal to Luther's 95 thesis, and specifically to these statements right here. The Pope and the established church had real issues with Luther's five alone statements that he was propagating. And the church at that time had three major objections to what Luther was saying. And this morning, I want to cover those three objections this morning. They correspond almost identically with what we're talking about here in Galatians. And these three points will overlap to some degree. Now, keep in mind, the Catholic Church was convinced that a person must contribute works to their faith in Christ to attain salvation. That was their theology then, and it remains their theology today. And I'm going to talk about what the Catholic Church is saying today. I will speak about that next week. So what were their three arguments against Luther's points? Well, we have some fill in the blanks in our bulletin here this morning. So let's go through those. The first one was this. They said this: a salvation by faith alone means there is a strong possibility of antinomianism. Now you might say, well, that's a big word, Mike. What does that mean? Well, we did talk about this word several weeks ago. Antinomianism comes from two Greek words, anti, which means against, and nomos, which means law. So an antinomian or an antinomianism is the belief that there are no moral laws that God expects Christians to obey. In other words, we can do whatever we want now that we are saved. The Catholic Church said this, that if a person is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and there are no works that contribute to that salvation, then that person could lead a rampant lifestyle of sin. I will admit, they make a very good point. Well, Paul addresses antinomianism in Romans chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, when Paul says this: but if through my lie, or in other words, my transgression, the truth of God abounded to his glory, why am I also still being judged as a sinner? And why not say, just as we are slanderously reported, and as some claim that we say, let's do evil, that good may come of it? Their condemnation is deserved. What Paul is saying is this, that if we obtain grace because we do evil things, why don't we just continue to do evil things so we can continue having and receiving grace? And Paul says this, you can't do that. For people who think that way, their condemnation is deserved. And that's a pretty strong statement. I said this several weeks ago, you cannot, a Christian, a person who claims to be a Christian, cannot continue in habitual sin, believing it is okay to do so, all the while justifying our sinful actions because we say we have liberty in Christ and we are saved. We cannot go there. There must be genuine remorse and confession over our sin. And we need to do that on a regular basis. Well, antinomianism still occurs today. It really does. Actually, some churches will actually preach that it is okay to have the antinomian belief. It was a legitimate argument proposed by the Catholic Church then. And we know now that Paul did address that issue back in Romans chapter 3. But the issue of antinomianism hinged on their second issue about the solas proposed by Luther. And that's our next fill in the blank. And this is where it starts getting very interesting. The Catholic Church said this, James chapter 2, verse 24, clearly teaches that a person is justified by works along with faith. That's their argument, and we're going to look at that scripture here in a second. Anytime there is a biblical issue with differing sides, one person thinks this, one person thinks this, then there must be what we call proof text, scripture proof text, to prove your side of the argument, whatever side that is. So what was the Catholic Church's proof text? Well, their proof text was James chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. Here it is. This is what they're saying. And this is what the Bible actually says. Was our father Abraham not justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Sounds like they have a pretty sound argument. It really does. But as I've been saying here for a long time, what are the three rules of proper scripture interpretation? Context, context, context. And there's a fourth. Scripture interprets what? Scripture. Scripture interprets scripture. Let's not take one verse or even a couple verses out of context. We must look at the entire context of what James is telling us and that what we find in James. And we can't just take verses 21 through 24. We have to go back all the way through verse number 14 and go all the way to verse number 26. Now, I don't have all those verses that I'm going to put up here. It's interesting reading. I would highly recommend you read verses chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 at your leisure. But what are those verses telling us? The verses are telling us, and James is speaking about something that we call saving faith. What is saving faith? It's exactly what it sounds like it is. Saving faith is the faith that saves us. We are saved by faith alone. Now, saving faith is different than what I would call mustard seed faith or ordinary faith. Every time you get in your automobile, you have an exercise faith, especially with that one pedal we call the brake pedal. You exercise your faith every time you press on that pedal because you have faith that that pedal will stop your car. You have faith every time you go to a restaurant and eat food that's prepared by somebody else that you have no idea who they are or where they're at or where they're getting this stuff from. You have that kind of faith. But James is not talking about that kind of faith. He's talking about saving faith. And James is asking a very simple question in these verses 14 through 26. Does a person truly have the kind of faith that saves them? That's all he's asking. Is a person genuinely converted? And what James is telling us in verses 14 through 26 says, that if they are, if a person is truly converted, if I am truly saved, if you are truly saved, that person will exhibit fruit of that conversion. So let's look at these same verses that I have up here, and let's highlight and underline some different things. Same verses, just with different things underlined and highlighted. The bottom one there, where it says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness," is directly from Genesis chapter 15. The first part of this, which talks about Abraham ready to sacrifice Isaac, is from Genesis 22. Well, this happened first. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So we could say this, that at that point in time, Abraham was saved. That would be the term that we would use. Now, how is that salvation proved? It was proved by the test that the Lord put Abraham to. Take your son up Mount Moriah, Genesis 22, and sacrifice him on the altar. So, and it's as it says there, and as a result of the works, what was the works? I'm going to sacrifice my son Isaac. His faith was perfected. In other words, his faith was proved. We also have the parable of the sower and the soils in Matthew chapter 13. And that parable was actually asking everybody, do you have saving faith or not? Because when we are tested as Christians, that will prove if we have saving faith or not, when our faith is being tested. Now, the difference between the Catholic and the Protestant with these verses is this, and this is so critical. It is our next fill in the blank in our bulletin. The Catholic will say that works, there's that C word, contribute to one's salvation. Whereas the Protestant and Martin Luther will say that works is the proof of one's salvation. Luther would say this, we are saved by faith alone, but never by a faith that is alone, because our faith will always be accompanied by the works that we produce because of the faith. We put the horse before the cart, whereas the Catholics will put the horse and the cart together. The Catholic Church was arguing that without works, one could slip into this thing that we have just identified as antinomianism, which is faith without works, because the person now can do and behave any way that they want. But remember, in the eyes of the Catholic, their works always contributed to their salvation. Well, the Protestant will agree that antinomianism is wrong. It's not going to be preached here, and it shouldn't be preached in other churches. You cannot say that you're saved and then behave any way that you want. But for one who is truly saved, their works will prove the faith that they profess. It is never a condition to earn it. The antinomian shows no proof of their professed faith because they just lead a very sinful life without repentance, without confession. Folks, I cannot stress the importance of this difference right here. It is the difference between a false gospel and a true gospel. It is the difference between one being saved and one not being saved. And if I'm wrong about this, then the Protestant religious system is wrong. Some of my favorite preachers and pastors, John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul, David Jeremiah, Charles Stanley, Jack Graham, and many other preachers today are going to be wrong because they would say the exact same thing. And also, that would mean that Martin Luther was wrong. And the worst of all, that would also mean that the Apostle Paul was wrong in what he writes right here in the book of Galatians. You are not saved by contributing works to your salvation. And if you believe that you need to, then you believe a false gospel. I'm willing to take the risk that the Apostle Paul is right. And I'm pretty sure he is. Well, the third and final issue, let's finish this up, that the Catholic Church had with Luther's sola statements was this, our final fill in the blank. God would never impute the righteousness of Christ to a person unless they earned that grace through their works. Again, the Catholic Church taught it was all things that you had to earn or gain by merit. So what does it mean to impute? Because I want to explain this. To impute means this, to credit or ascribe something to a person or a cause. In the biblical sense, this is what is so nice about Christianity. In the biblical sense, our sins, once we have become saved, once we give our lives over to Christ, our sins have been imputed to Jesus Christ, because we know this, he bore our sins, right, on the cross. Our sins have been imputed to Christ, and in exchange, Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. Isn't that miraculous? We trade, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we trade our sinfulness to Christ, and he bears our sins. And in return, he gives us his righteousness. So that when the Father sees us, it's like he's seeing his own Son. There's many scriptures that attest to this, but the one I want to point out the most is 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says this, he made him who knew no sin, who would that be? Jesus. Jesus knew no sin, to be sin in our behalf. He bore our sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There's that exchange of how things are imputed, our sins to Christ, Christ's righteousness to us. And I have other scripture references up here too, because we must make sure that we don't stand on just one verse alone. So we can go to Romans chapter 3, 20 and 21, Galatians 2, 20, and Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14, if we want to see other passages that support what I am saying right here about this thing about imputation. The Catholic Church stood firm in their stand that God would never, ever, ever impute the righteousness of Christ to a person unless they earned that righteousness first through and earned it through grace through their works. God would never do such a thing based solely on one's faith and trust and faith alone in Christ. That was their argument. But by this time, let's get to the end of the year 1520. The criticisms of Martin Luther had already been widely distributed, and they found a very receptive audience, not only in Germany, but now it's going to Switzerland, to France, to the other European countries. And with the help of this new invention called the printing press, the Reformation movement gained in strength and it gained in popularity at the time. And from that time forward, the Catholic Church would never maintain the same unchallenged authority in Europe again. Luther's challenge to the authority of the church led to a new religious thinking and a desire to break away from that old established church, creating a Christianity which returned back to the simplicity of what the scriptures taught. And it diminished the role of the Pope and the priest. It was quite an event, that 95 theses that he put up on that church, at that church in Wittenberg. I just need another excuse to say that word. In 1520, Martin Luther said this. He was before the Catholic Church Council, and he's being condemned as a heretic. And he said this, and I quote, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in the councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves, I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. May God help me. Amen." He took quite a stand, so people like us could have what we have today. Had he not, we would still be thinking, possibly, that we get to heaven and earn eternal life by earning it and gaining it through our works. The five sola statements, there they are again. Sola gratia, sola fide, solo Christus, sola Deo gloria, and sola scriptura. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 21, we read that earlier. Is Paul rebuking Peter for demanding that he adds circumcision as a requirement for salvation? By the time you get to 1517, Martin Luther had to rebuke the Catholic Church for the same reason. Only this time it wasn't circumcision. It was other works of merit that they had to do to be saved and earn grace. Well, what about today? What about today? Well, that's next week. Next week, we're going to look at the impact of this salvation by works gospel today, and if it is still the doctrine of the Catholic Church or of any other church. Are there churches out there that we still must earn your way to heaven? And as a former Catholic, as most of you know, I'm even going to throw in a little, maybe a lot of personal testimony as to what I experienced in my days growing up within that Catholic Church system. Martin Luther, praise the Lord, he stood his ground, and now we know that we are saved by faith alone, grace alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, and we know that sola scriptura.